affairs of men. And if a sparrow cannot fall to the ground without his notice, is it probable that an empire can rise without his aid? That's not a deist. Okay? Now I've actually been to Thomas Jefferson's house. Has anybody ever been to Monticello? It's really an awesome, awesome place. And I went out and stood by his grave. And it's awesome. He's got all kinds of stuff. Oh, he's got water. I mean, he had ice year round. That's cool. He had ice year. That's cool. Get it? That's cool. Yeah, he had ice year round because he had it put in the ground down low enough where it would stay frozen. And he had his people eat a good diet. And he treated his slaves more like landowners than he did slaves. And it was just, if you go in his house, you'll see he's the one that commissioned Lewis and Clark to go over and explore the other side of the United States. And so if you go inside his house, you'll see stuff that Lewis and Clark brought back. I don't know. I think Adams was a short guy, but I don't think. Right. Okay, here you go. Separation of church and state. Listen to this. Everybody says, and they holler it so fast, separation church and state, separation church and state. We should want sometimes just give them a holy slap. You know what I'm saying? You know. So here it goes. Watch this. Too many Americans think that the First Amendment says separation of church and state. That's what people think the First Amendment says. The courts and the media will often refer to a ruling as being in violation of the separation of church and state. A recent national poll showed that 69% of Americans believe the First Amendment says separation of church and state. Here's what it says. The First Amendment, Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof or abridging the freedom of speech or of the press and the right of the people peacefully to assemble and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. So where did separation of church and state come from? Here it is. And this is also on his tombstone. He has a monument there and it's on it. All right, here it goes. You go back to a letter written by Thomas Jefferson. He wrote it in 1802. I wrote it back in 1802. In October 1801, the Danbury Baptist Association of Connecticut wrote to President Jefferson, and in their letter they voiced some concerns about religious freedom. So on January 1st, 1802, Jefferson wrote a letter to them in which he added the phrase separation of church and state. When you read the full letter, you'll understand that Jefferson simply underscoring the First Amendment as a guardian of the people's religious freedom from government interference. And here's part of the letter. I contemplate with sovereign reverence that the act of the whole American people, which declared that their legislature should make no law respecting an establishment of religion, prohibiting the free exercise thereof, thus building a wall of separation between church and state. What the people are trying to do is they're trying to keep God out of the government. And what he was trying to do was keep the church out of the government. And what he was trying to do was keep the government out of church. There's a big difference. Amen? That's a big difference. And so what he was saying is, he was even telling the clergy, y'all run for office. We need you up here. Okay? So it's really kind of bad that they would use that. So the First Amendment uses Jefferson simply quotes the First Amendment, then uses the metaphor, the wall, to separate the government from interfering with religious practice. So the First Amendment puts restriction only on the government, not the people. But that's not what we hear. I mean, they'll take it and run with it. I was watching some of the confirmation today and Senate confirmations, and I was right sick at my stomach. I wanted to go, had to go to the bathroom and throw up a couple times after watching it. And I was thinking when the Obama's people got up there, y'all were busy trying to get them on in, you know, and because he had liberals and butterfly chasers and tree huggers, and they were all, get them on in here. And now they got somebody that'll stand for something. And if somebody will stand for something, they don't want them in there. And so just pray, because as at this point, I believe they'll all get confirmed. But if they don't, then we want the right one in spot anyway. But I've never seen a cabinet quite like this. before the cabinets just kind of were, the last cabinet was like a puppet, okay? And this cabinet's not a puppet. He ain't got a bunch of puppets. I happen to watch, you ever seen George C. Scott play Patton, movie Patton? If you have never seen that movie Patton, you need to watch it because it is an awesome movie. General Patton's army was, I mean, they could take care of business. All right. So again, remember, it's not the separation of church, it's not the separation of God and state, it's the separation of church and state, keeping the church, the government out of church. But even right now, there's places in their states that are looking at pastors' outlines in the United States of America. They're taking away their church, I mean, their tax exempt status, and some are even being accused of hate crimes. Okay, because they're not politically correct. This is going on in the United States of America, not Russia, not Iraq, the United States of America. So, now getting through with all that, so Benjamin Franklin, Thomas Jefferson. Matter of fact, all the forefathers, if you read all the forefathers' writings, you'll see where they talk continuously about God and how we need God's help. And I've noticed that when they teach American history now, they kind of leave all this stuff out. They just kind of breeze through some of this stuff to the point where people don't, some of the youngest don't even know what they're talking about. I've asked some of my grandyoungers, or asked some people who've been in school for 4 or 5 years, tell me about Thomas Jefferson and who's that? Well, talk about George Washington. You know, And they don't talk about this stuff that you see here. So deism, let's get back to this. Deism, God wound the world like a clock. Now, I want you to see something here. And if you're taking notes, I want you to write this down. Intersect. 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 Some of these are intersecting. By intersecting, what I mean is you have part of one view and part of another. Okay, and so the first intersect I want to talk about is the agnostic/deist intersect. The agnostic/deist intersect, because a pure agnostic may say it's not possible to know if God even exists, but then you got the agnostic that has the deist intersect, says I know there's a God, we just can't talk to him, we just can't get a hold of him. Okay, so there's that intersect. We're going to talk about another intersect in just a minute. So there's an agnostic/deist intersect. Now, here's something that's kind of confusing. We're getting ready to talk about pantheism. Pantheism, and honestly, you will not believe how close and how much this is in the United States. You would think this was being over in some country where they're worshiping cows and all this stuff, you know, but this is right here in the United States, and people are confusing this for Christianity. Okay, here it goes. Pantheism. God is the universe. God is only the physical world we see. And that's the New Age movement. The New Age movement is running rampant through this place like Kingdom Now principles and other things. The New Age movement is usually called NAM, New Age movement, NAM, and it has so many subdivisions. But it's talking about that they teach what they call salvation of correct thinking. Their salvation comes through correct knowledge. It's a theology of feel good. So you tell me, you can watch some of these guys on television, you see Christianity intersecting with the feel good. Just feel good. You know, God just wants you to feel good. Well, tell that to Jesus on the cross. Tell that to Paul. Tell that to Moses. Tell that. Matter of fact, look at any biblical character you want to look at. Joseph, who wound up being prime minister of Egypt. If I ask him if God just wants you to feel good, because the psalm said he was in fetters, in chains, for 10 years before he became prime minister. You know, that's like, it makes me think, if I hurt or I've got a problem, then I must not be living right, because God wants me to feel good. But God wants you. Yours children. He does want you to have a good life. But feel good? Let's be real. There's times we don't feel good. Okay? There's times things happen that we don't like. But at the same time, God's with us. That's his promise. That he's going to be with us through all this. So it's pantheism. And that tree's God. If the world were to disappear, God would too. Here's the confusion. There's something called Panentheism. Panentheism is all things are part of God. Here's the one closer to people trying to mix with Christianity. All things are a part of God, and God has a body, and God has a body and a mind. This is New Age spirituality. This tree is a part of God. If the world disappeared, God's body would disappear, but he would still have a mind. I'm telling you, this is some of the craziest mess I believe I have ever seen. I can't even understand where somebody would even think this, but they do. I remember talking to a missionary that went over to Haiti, and he said that they were selling little gods all over the place. You could buy gods for $1. He said you could buy gods that fit in your hand. And he said this little god had a hole in the back of it, and it went out through the top. And the hole was for whatever gods you served to come in the back of that idol when you were worshiping God in that idol, and it would come in that idol when you were worshiping God, and it would leave. And the man told him, said, would you like to buy a god that you can hold in your hand? And he said, no, sir, I don't think I need that. He says, my God holds me in his hand. Wow, powerful stuff. Okay, so the difference panentheism and pantheism, again, panentheism means all in God. Okay, the universe is it's all, but you got these two together. Then there's the last one, but then there's theism. Here comes to the next intersect. A theism is there's only one God. He created the universe, and we can know him. Now, Christianity is a Trinitarian theism, and Judaism and Islam has a Unitarianism, meaning they believe one God, we believe three. The tree was created by God and sustained by God, and if the world disappeared, God would remain intact. This is proper theism. It's a proper thought. We are not deists, we are theists. Okay? We believe there's three gods. We believe there's Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. We believe he's in control. He's taking care of business. We can talk to him. Here's the next intersect between deist and theism. Bless you. Deist and theism. Again, the deist believes God just wound up the world. The theist knows that God's in control and he's got everything going. And there's still some people that believe that God's wound it up. That's how it's going to be. Okay? And if that's so, then why do we do intercessory prayer? If that's so, you know, then how did Moses change God's mind when he was going to destroy everybody? Moses says, if you can do that, take me and destroy me too. You know, circumstances can change, but God knows the beginning from the end. That's how God can tell you how things are going to work. And he knows in the middle where he's going to change, if he changes his mind or something changes. He already knows that. It's like he already knew when he called y'all, when he called me. He knew when he called me that I wouldn't stand up there, and when I got my ordination, I pledged to be perfect. And he looked down and laughed and said, right. And he said, I'm watching you, but even though in all your imperfections, I still want to use you. Every last one of you, in all your imperfections, God still wants to use you. So then there's polytheism. I know this is kind of crazy, but this is the seven major worldviews combined. Now, there's a lot more, but this is combined. Polytheism is there are many gods. And that's Hinduism. The tree was created by God of the forest. Rain comes from the rain god. Collards come from the collard god. Collards come from Rufus Smith. Problem.
I
Well, if you go in a Chinese restaurant, you'll see that little cat, the old cat, doing like this, you know what I'm talking about? Yeah, when I walk up to him, I give him five. Okay, so wrong belief. I'm not willing. Here's the wrong belief, and that's what can lead to all this stuff. I'm not willing to surrender my will to a personal God for whom I have no tangible evidence of existence. The fool says in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. Their deeds are vile. There is no one who does good. That's the wrong belief. If you get tied up in that stuff, you're gonna find yourself here. You know, I got kind of blown away when I found out Tiger Woods was a Buddhist. Mm-hmm. And that just kind of blew me away, because you think, you know, that boy, the way he plays golf, he had to be a Christian. Most Baptists can play golf, I hear. And the Church of God boys can play golf. So I figured he was Church of God or Baptist. I heard the Methodists can play sometimes. They're not as good as the Baptists and the Church of God boys. Yeah. Okay. The right belief. God in three persons has revealed himself through his creation. His word is revealed to me by the Holy Spirit. I am accountable for my response to the light that I have received. Wow. You are accountable for the light you have received. That makes you sometimes just think, I want to go, I don't want to hear it, and I'm not going to be responsible. But I tell you what, I want you to give you all a test today. I want you to pick a road you have never been down. And I want you to drive 60 miles an hour all the way down that road. And if the man stops, you can tell him, well, I've really not been this way before, and I didn't really see any street signs. So how can I be responsible for going 60 in a 35 when I didn't see the 35 sign? I'm joking. The point I'm trying to make is that man's going to say, well, you might not have known it's a 35 then, but you know it now. And there's the ticket. There's the proof. That's right. That's right. And all I can think about is Buford T. Jessup saying, boy, when I get home, I'm going to go slap your mama right in the mouth. Ain't no way you come from my loins. Okay. So here we go. Since what we may, here it goes, Romans 1:19-20, and then we're going to close. Since what may be known about God is plain to them, because God has made it plain to them, for since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature, has been clearly seen, being understood for what has been made, so that men are without excuse. I'm telling you, when you stand before him, you're going to be without excuse. You're going to be inexcusable. You're not even able to defend yourself. I was listening to one of my lectures last night, and the guy, he was a biophysicist, and he was talking about how he had gone someplace over, I can't think of the name of the school now, it was a very fancy school, and he went up in there, and he said, I couldn't talk about God in that school. He said he didn't want to hear it. All those walking heads didn't want to hear it. He said, but I took them to one of the most beautiful places on earth and carried them with me. And said, when they walked out and saw the creation, he said, they stood in awe. He said, creation itself tells you there's a God. It's awesome. It's awesome. When you see the creation, and even right now, you know, the Bible says this stuff is there for our acknowledgement of him. You know, when Abraham looked up and saw stars, he saw billions of stars. Because the world didn't have all the lights that it has now, didn't have all the pollution that it has now. And he was in the desert, and he could look up and just see stars after stars after stars. There's people in the city that only get a chance to see a few stars from here and there. We're blessed because we get to see a lot of stars. But can you imagine somebody never had a chance to see God's creation? When we went up to Vermont and New York, we just sat there and watched and looked. We just rode and looked through God's creation. That's about all we did was ride. It was just so awesome to see God's creation. It made me stand in awe. I'm colorblind, and I was amazed at the colors I saw. Linda looked over. Linda just told me, she said, look over at those shiny trees. The ones that are shiny, the ones that are shiny and dark, go look at them. I said, they're awesome. She said, I wish you could see what I'm seeing. And I said, dear, I will one day. When I see it's going to be in heaven, it's going to be awesome. Amen. Never. Nope. Oh my God. Your body's crying out. Your spirit's crying out. Your spirit's crying out to God. Yeah, it's crying out to God. Oh my God. That's right. And I'm telling you, that's the body, that's your spirit crying out to God. Okay, any questions? I know this is deep. Oh yeah, that's no doubt. I was in the house last night at 12 o'clock, walking around doing a mineral scavenger hunt. I had to come up with 5 different minerals, and I had to write a 300-page report on 5 different minerals that I found in my house. And so I got up and I found them. And after I found them, I wrote what? No. Honestly, shower to shower, talcum. Okay, my wedding ring, silver. Linda's engagement ring, diamond. Linda's got a Himalayan salt lamp, salt. And then I found some bath salts that had sea salt in it. So there was my 5 right there. Plus, just to throw some stuff in the thing, I said, when I get up in the morning, I'm awakened by an alarm clock that has crystals in the electronics that make it work, and has brass and all this stuff. So it's got stuff in it. Once I get up, I go to the bathroom, and I said, then I started naming off the stuff. I use soap to get clean, pumice. And just started going down naming all the stuff. And by the time, every last one of us, by the time you get ready to go to work, you've probably used 5 to 10 minerals by the time you get ready to leave the house. And so when I got through, I had my whole day listed in the minerals that I went through. But I did have the 5 up where I asked for and put what they were, but then down below. And so it's an amazing thing. Linda was laughing. She said, it was the craziest thing. I'm running around looking for minerals in the house. Oh, it was only a page. It was 300 words. No, I had to write. No. The pages, they'll do that for the final exam. They'll say they'll do something like, we're going to write on, like in my crisis management, I had to write 10-page reports constantly, 10-page reports. But just the stuff, normally during the week, you might have to write 10 pages, and they're anywhere from 250 to 500 pages. Last time when I did Western Civilization, the smallest paper I did, I think it was 300 words, but it had to encompass whatever they asked, and you had to explain. And so it was constant, bam, 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 bam. There's a lot of minerals in sweat. Do you know also in your eyes? Do you know when y'all cry, you don't cry the same kind of tear? They're all different. The chemical makeup of your tears are different. If you're afraid, you have one chemical makeup in your tears. If you're happy, you have another. If you're sad, you have another. If you're really, really, really excited, if you're hurting, you have another chemical makeup in your tear. And the reason why is God did that so to cause a release in you that brings you relief. And so every tear is not the same. Isn't that cool? God's so awesome. God is so, so awesome. All right, any more questions? Do we have any agnostics in here? We'll pray for you. We got any atheists? We're going to pray for you whether you like it or not. And remember, the next time somebody tells you you're an atheist, say, oh, I thought about you your last holiday. What was that, April Fool's Day? The fool said in his heart, there is no God. Okay. Deist. You believe God just sets you up here and you can't do anything to change it. It's just there, which is like a lot about Calvinism, pantheism, where we believe that God's just everything, and theism, which is what we are. There's one God, but we believe in the Trinitarian theism, believe in the Father, Son, the Holy Ghost, and this polytheism, many, many gods. So, when you think about these things, I guarantee you, as time goes by, if you think about these things, people start talking to you, you're going to think, man, we live in a weird world. Because how many ever watched the O'Reilly Factor? And on the O'Reilly Factor, what's the guy's name? Wayne's World. That's where you live. You live in Wayne's World. It's not Wayne. Oh, man. Water's World. And he was at Christmas time walking down the streets of New York and walking to places and just randomly picking people. And they would ask him after the interview, how many people did he actually pick? And did he pick out specific people and ask? He said, no, these are people I just walked down and asked. And out of about 20 people, only about two could tell you where Jesus was born. And only about two or three people could tell you who Jesus's parents, earthly parents, were. And they couldn't tell you what the wise men brought. And it's just amazing that this nation is so biblically illiterate. Edward Frank sent this, that's right. So, but it's so biblically illiterate, and we're bombarded with it. And you know what? Actually, we say we're in the Bible Belt, but you know the Bible Belt is shifting, and we're getting ready to leave it. Isn't that sad? It's going down. I mean that. It kind of it's smart. It's shrinking and going down, shrinking. And so where it was up in like in Virginia and on up in Maryland, now it's coming down, coming down, coming down. And like I said, we went up and drove up and we're in Vermont and Connecticut, Rhode Island, New York. That one road we took, I bet you, I guarantee you, I didn't see a handful of churches. And then a handful of churches I saw, there were more closed down, used as grocery stores and used as houses than there was for places of worship. We're going downhill. I see. I heard the shot. I heard the shot. The plane's going down. Well, I answered one time. I answered on the quiz. He asked this question. And he says, for 10 points, it was a 10-point question, but he said, "What? Who said such and such?" And I wrote down, "God only knows." He wrote back and said, "You get a zero, God gets 100. That's all staying. Father, we love you. We praise your name. We thank you for this night. We thank you for this chance to learn about you, Lord. And Father, if we'll take this stuff, we can use it. All this stuff we've been doing, we can take it, we can use it. We take it, keep it, notebook. It's going to come back and we're going to need it. I ask you right now, Lord, to help us, especially in this day and time, in this nation we live in. Out of those seven, there's definitely more than that. There's Confucianism and Buddhism and all that going on, Eastern mysticism going on in our area. But Lord, help us, God, in the name of Jesus. Help us to stand strong and to stand on your word. In the name of Jesus, we pray. The church said, amen.